listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
I want to try and turn the handle.
Locked.
Yeah, I want to try and climb the roof.
A chimney.
And just slide on down.
Within a glass case, your chain shirt.
Toss it over my shoulder. Brisk walk back to the tavern.
I get he's important, but I ain't taking a 4-week trip to come back.
We're not selling him. We'll just bring him. If you come with us, you could die.
Yeah.
You coming with us?
Brook nods his head.
Well,
swear to be faithful and do no harm to the Cracked Mesa clan.
Swear it.
Swears it.
I swear it.
I hope you understand that your arms act as an extension of mine own.
See, that'll give me the strength not to take his head right now.
Let me get a recap of that last session, huh?
I don't know, we've seen him talk fucking gibberish to him multiple times, right?
No. He talks common.
But Turnip is always audibly responding,
yes,
right?
Vocalizing a response.
And it seems like it's conversational,
yes,
to us.
Yes. yeah. Being from the bog area.
You guys just saw a person with the legs of a spider. This isn't that
I don't
bad.
Know what he's doing or saying, but I feel like he's communicating.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. I want to put a spotlight on it because this hasn't been a conversation. Like, Rook has never at one point said, hey, by the way, I can talk to Turnip. You guys have seen him talk to Turnip. No one's asked, questions about it. Hey, can you talk to Turnip? He talked to Tuga before. You guys have seen him talk to Tuga before. God rest his soul. But...
No, he's burning in hell.
Oh, Tuga's down in a while. But, that hasn't been a conversation, so I'm curious, are you guys... Because I know you guys are good with metagaming, obviously. I think it's realistic that you guys would interpret this without having to have a conversation about it. And I think that that's kind of interesting. That, this is something that is supernatural in relative terms, but you guys kind of get it. Considering the person that Rook is, and considering, context clues, the fact that Rook can talk to Turnip is something that you're just able to infer.
Yeah, personally, we've seen him do some crazier shit, fly a fucking cactus unicorn over my dead body. Him talking to a donkey or to a mule is
That's just Tuesday.
Exactly. Yeah, it's almost he's a my way, so it's this weird shit just comes with it.
Yeah, the fact that I'm a cactus man already is fucking weird.
Yep. So, upon leaving the God Gut Keep, standing outside just beyond the doors, overlooking a swath of orcish warriors practicing battle maneuvers, Olor, his back towards you, he turns to face you, his teal skin glistening in the sun, as he says,
"Four mounts."
Please.
Yes, sir.
Saddled riding lizards. You'll be provided rations enough for the 12-day journey. You'll exit from the front gates and head east. In 3 days, you should see the cactus fields. Another 6 days past that will get you to the dunes. The lizards will eat the cactus if offered. 2 days through the dunes on a perfect eastward bearing from this fort, the war party scouts should find you. They'll bring you to camp, and you will give this
to Olaf. And he takes out of his pocket a wax-sealed envelope with a very, very crude blue-colored wax seal.
He is the party's leader. You will recognize him based on the fact that he has only one tusk. Do not break that wax seal under any circumstances.
Immediately I didn't mean to. It literally fell off.
He tossed it into a fucking drum.
Breaks the seal in front of him in the conversation.
I swear to God, it fell off.
It fell off, sir. It fell off. Trash. Please don't kill me.
Do not under any
circumstances. Go fuck yourself.
Kobe.
I didn't break it.
Kobe.
Olaf has one tusk. Give that letter to him and do as he commands. Are you prepared to travel now, or do you need time to gather your belongings?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I thought we only need 3 mounts, because we're taking turnip. No? Right, guys? I mean, does anybody need a...
Well,
is anyone going to ride turnip?
He said they work well in packs, so if we could just have turnip on the side, like, not carrying anything, that's probably easier for turnip. And he said the lizard, like, they're willing to give us 4.
That's good.
Yeah.
Right? So... All right. Like,
yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Have you any questions on your journey?
The lizards aren't going to try to eat me, right?
They are well trained and herbivores.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. They may.
I'll talk to them.
Right. And make sure you don't break that wax seal.
I didn't.
Good. Good.
The wax seal may break itself, though.
It might. And I might look.
I will prepare your mounts. And you will disembark. You represent the Cracked Mesa clan now. You are one of us. Do not disappoint Borgath.
He looks over the four of you, a gaze that hangs for a while before he breaks off, walks off seemingly to gather your mounts. The four of you alone on the steps leading up into Godgut Keep, probably with a minute, 2 minutes to yourselves. Anything that you guys want to say to each other? This wax sealed envelope has been handed to Rook. For all intents and purposes, this wax seal is not broken.
It really did just fucking break off, but I was about to look at it. It broke off, but I was.
I watched it. The seal broke, it but broke, you were going, like, for it.
I was definitely going to
read it. Didn't say anything.
No.
You were going for it.
I was going to read it. I was going to read it. But,
that's so fucking
as he's saying,
I heard him and I was like,
trash.
Oh. You fucking look, even that just broke off. Use candle wax, you just like dripped it on.
That's none of your business.
No,
that's Vorgath made that. I didn't make that.
You got that big bag. Rook doesn't want it. Rook doesn't want that.
If you just hand it to,
I give it
hand
to
it
you
to Levi.
Put it in the big bag, because all
everybody
I have,
can realize I do put it in the bag.
All I have is my pouch.
Okay.
Levi, are you still wearing the, like, you know, the enhanced armor?
Yeah, full armor right now.
So I want
to. I didn't mean to do that.
Like, I want to say. Well, nice getup.
Yeah, thanks.
Was he for real back there?
Pull my cloak out, and like the chain shirt is like stuffed into my bag so hard, but some of it's just hanging out because it's just that big. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it would only help us, right?
Yeah, good get. Is that gonna fit you?
No, not at all. This is, wait, this is probably your size, actually, but there is somebody at the war front. His name is Nock. So he apparently, this is kind of a funny story. Olor said that he was a smith for goblins. I don't know if he still is, but anyway, he's at the war front now, so he might be able to size it down for me.
How'd you find out about him?
Oh, I asked Olor.
You asked Olor if there was somebody that could resize your chain shirt? Somebody not in this party that could resize your chain shirt?
Can you?
Levi pops out his chest again in his new armor and walks a little faster.
I want to fucking, like Donkey and Shrek, like, follow Shrek right now. And I want to be like, well, wait, I don't know. I have, if you can, I don't know. You don't look like a smith to me. You look like more like a, I don't know, a tinker.
The fuck's the difference?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it would save us some, some gold if you could do it, but I don't want to pull you out of anything.
You didn't think I could do it?
Well, I thought you might.
Did you see his claws? And I point back. What? His claws.
I don't flash my claws. I'm a little weirded out by you right now.
I can help.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I saw that he painted his nails, but that was you? Did you paint his nails?
Where am I for this?
Probably, like, in the area, yeah.
I walked, like, 5 feet in front of
him. I'm, like, trying to look at his nails.
Peeking over. This conversation is taking place. You guys closing the distance to Olor, who is now turning the corner with 4 giant lizards behind him. They are saddled. Stout, flat, sleek, these massive monitor lizards. They have saddles. Attached to the saddles are saddle bags. Notably, though, one of the 4 has a pole arm that's attached to the saddle and rises up probably 5 or so feet in the air and ends in a banner of the Cracked Mesa Clan. He's got these 4 by the reins, and you guys are probably still about 50 or so yards from him as he's kind of turning the corner and walking towards you 4. Yards.
Has Honto been noticeably weirded out by me since I did that? We've shared a room together.
Wait, since you painted your nail?
Yeah,
your
probably nails? 3 days ago.
No, he just thought that interaction was okay. A little much. He thinks you're devolving a little bit. And yeah. You need to chill out.
No, absolutely, he was.
30 yards.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to do this while we're on the move, would you? I mean, that would be a lot to ask.
We rest at night. I mean,
20 yards.
You can keep the rest of the material.
Do you not think it looks good?
10 yards.
No, I think it looks very good. I think it looks very good. Here, please take it, please. Would you? I trust you. I do.
I pull it out. I hand it out to you.
He doesn't put his hand down right now. He's keeping his hands away. He's still walking.
The lizards approach with Olor grabbing them by the reins.
These are your mounts. They are well trained. They eat only vegetation. As I said, you will leave Follow the directions I gave you and meet the war party. Will that be all?
Walk up to him. Throw the chainmail over my shirt. The chain shirt over my shoulder. I say,
did you snitch?
He leans in close, towering over you.
Snitch.
Yes, it's what we underfolk call ratting me out.
You will bring honor to the Cracked Mesa clan. Do what you have been ordered to do and leave. If you die, we will not bury you. Goodbye.
Yes, goodbye.
He drops the reins, walks off back towards the collection of orcs that are training. Four lizards in front of you guys. Turn it probably off, maybe 50 or so feet to the side with the cart attached. What are you guys doing?
Do they look like the thing that Jig X had?
Yes, almost identical.
Okay.
Stop it. I wanted to brush past it. I wanted to brush past it so
Jizz X.
It was so unintentional.
Jizz X.
Can he be Jizz X from now on?
No.
Jizz X.
No.
Jizz
X.
Jizz X. Yeah. It was unintentional, I promise.
So you have seen this type of creature before. It's similar, but it's a little different. Jigix had raptors. These are like lizards.
They're like Komodo dragons.
Yeah,
just
like,
bigger.
Huge, like the size like of like name. A yeah. Like a.
I can't imagine
Jizz.
Riding.
All right, fine. Let's get the fucking Jizzix shit out. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Jonathan was last. Jonathan and then Jizzix. That's true.
The Jizzix.
Yes. The merchant Jizzix.
So.
I love Jizzix.
You bought something from him.
He jizzixed all over me.
Not
yeah, I did.
Jizzix is the best.
Wait,
person.
Let me look real quick. I jizzed on.
Jigix had raptors that. Dude.
It's Jizzix. Just call him Jizzix. Shut up. You gotta change it.
You just called
him Jizzix. You mean Jizzix,
just called him Jizzix. Like, and then the you wanted to brush Jigix? Past the fact that you said it.
I said it.
He just said it just now.
No, I said...
You said Jizzix. Yeah, you did.
Can't let him into the game of Jizzix.
Jizzix's... mounts.
Thank you.
Yes, Jizzix.
So, when you first saw Jizzix, his mounts were like raptors, like the dinosaur. But these are squatter, more flat, kind of monitor lizards is the best way I can describe them. Very, very flat. But they are before you, and they're large, probably about the size of like a pony, almost, but flat to the ground. If you do, like, sit on them, like saddle on them, you need to like raise your knees up into stirrups that are up on the side in order to not have your feet drag across the ground as you ride them.
Like you're on a small bike.
Exactly.
Are they the size of turnip or is turnip bigger?
They are the size of turnip.
Okay.
You guys are alone. You, turnip, the cart, and these four lizards saddled with saddlebags on them. What do you guys want to do?
Saddle up. Yeah.
Mount up.
Saddle up, yeah. Where he said head east, right? I mean.
Yep.
I take the chain shirt off of Kree. And I put it in my bag. I take it off his shoulder.
Kree, like, great, like, it's like a grateful nod, like. Thank you.
So what is the situation here? Who's riding a lizard? What are you guys doing with Turnip?
Turnip is just following. Could we just say, like, I had a conversation with him, like, we're going to make it easier on you. We're going to ride these, and you're going to come by with
so
us.
So here's the only issue is that one of the stipulations in your ability is, like, you can't convince him to do something. Like, you can talk to him, but we might have to roleplay a conversation or save us both some time, and if you just want to connect his lead to one of the lizards...
Yeah, do that.
That's easy enough. Yeah. Yep. So arc each of you on one of these lizards.
Yes.
Yes. But also to confirm, he's connected to the cart, is he not?
He is.
I mean, we're bringing the cart.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool.
This may be a logistical issue, but it's not one that's a problem now. When you guys enter tough terrain, we may need to reassess, but on the flat ground surrounding Fort Chasm, this shouldn't be an issue. Leaving Fort Chasm?
Yes.
So, exiting out through the main bazaar that was there when you first entered, you are ushered through, passing all these wares, bits, and baubles for trade and sale, till you make your way out of the main gate. Still hanging in a cage above this main gate, you see an orc trapped in a cage, rising above these large iron doors that are open to let people in and out. But on your lizards, with Turnip following in tow, you make your way out.
Is that orc green?
Take a look up. Hone in for a second. Yes, he looks to be green-skinned.
Okay.
On the way out, there are people who are trying to make their way in. It seems like merchants trying to come into trade or different settlers trying to make their way in. Nobody that you recognize, nothing that would send up any red flags. On the way out, you notice off to the left of the main entrance, as I described when you first entered in, there are an encampment of orcs that seem to be outside of the city, but they have tents and fires and different tanning racks and stuff like that. Passing past them, up this small road. Where are you guys heading?
Straight east.
I said straight east, and in 3 days we'll see the dunes.
The cactuses are 3 days.
Right, yeah.
That's what the
lizards want to eat. So, that's what
we're aiming for. So, orienting yourself to the east and heading out, the lizards themselves are a very smooth ride. Their feet seem to find a footing in this sand that makes for a, I would say, fairly comfortable experience riding through. Making your way out, the ground here is flat, almost like desert salt flats, and they're cracked a little bit as you make your way through. What do you guys want to do for these first 3 days of travel? I'm questioning about camps. I'm questioning about conversations during the day. 3 full days pass as you make your way through these salt-cracked flats. Away from Fort Chasm, away from civilization, and into the barren wastes of the Grand Erg.
I definitely want to talk to my ride here.
When do you begin that conversation?
Probably instantly.
As you exit Fort Chasm?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Nice to meet you. I'm Rook.
How you doing?
<That's great. laughs> what's your name?
Well, I ain't got no one.
Oh. Okay. How old are you?
Couple suns, moons, seasons. I don't know.
You've been on a lot of adventures like this?
No. No, this is the furthest I've ever gotten.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What about your friends?
I don't know them.
Oh. You got any family?
Yeah, my mom and my dad.
Where are they at?
I don't know. I guess I gotta have them.
Are you excited to be on this journey?
Not particularly, no.
What would you rather be doing?
Sitting around. Eating flies.
Eating gabagoo.
This
is kinda, the fucking one I picked, goddammit.
This is kind of rough. A lot of sand. It's getting in between my toes.
Oh, okay. And you don't have a name?
No.
Do you want a name?
I don't care.
If you had a name, what would it be?
Lizard. That's what they called me at the stables. I don't have any problem with it.
All right, Lizard.
Are there other ones? Like, am I, like, in between?
Maybe yeah, I mean,
more?
Maybe at one point you would get up, like, between where, like, Levi's Lizard is or...
Are all of them like this?
Do you interact with any of the other ones?
All of them.
Whose do you interact with?
Who am I in between?
I would say Levi's the closest to you.
All right, Levi's.
Hey, how about you?
Well, how you doing?
I just go, and then I go to my left, and...
Kreese is over there.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. How you doing?
Okay, I just... All the lizards are like that.
Hantos comes up behind you.
Hello, Rook! No, I'm kidding. How you doing?
Okay. That's it.
Similar disposition from all the lizards. Anything else that you guys want to do on these 3 days? Like I said, we're talking about during the day, conversations between you guys, and at camp at night.
Levi wants to start working on this, fitting this chain shirt.
Okay. Do you have proficiency with smith tools?
I do, at third level.
Do you have smith tools?
I don't have smith tools, but at third level, artificers get the right tool for the job.
Wow!
You've learned how to produce exactly the tool you need.
Is that verbatim what it says?
You've learned to produce the exact tools you need. With thieves' tools or artisan tools in hand, you can magically create one set of artisan tools in an unoccupied space within 5 feet of you.
Are smith tools artisan tools?
Suck my dick, I gotta open another book.
I think they are. But this is gonna be important, because if, like, alchemist tools are artisan tools, that's gonna be something that we would want to know.
They are. The artisan tools, I'll read them off to you. Alchemist supplies, brewer supplies, calligrapher supplies, carpenter's tools, cartographer's tools, cobbler's tools, cook's utensils, glass blower's tools, jeweler's tools, leatherworker's tools, mason's tools, painter's supplies, potter's tools, smith's tools, tinkerer's tools, weaver's tools, woodcarver's tools.
You can do this at will?
Yep.
Once per long rest?
Nope. Just when I do it to a different... If I want a new set of tools, the old one disappears.
Okay, so you're turning your tinkerer's tools into...
No. Apologies. You've learned how to produce exactly the tool you need. With thieves' tools or artisan tools in hand, you can magically create one set of artisan tools in an unoccupied space within 5 feet
okay,
of you.
Okay, so what artisan tools are you using to transform?
Smith's tools. No. And I'm using... I have...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What the hell do I have? I have thieves' tools.
Thieves' tools are not artisan tools.
You've learned how to produce exactly the tools you need. With thieves' tools or artisan tools in hand, you
okay,
can magically
okay,
create...
Okay. I'm sorry.
I have thieves' tools from being a charlatan.
So, if you turn these thieves' tools into an artisan tool...
I don't turn them into anything. If you would let me read and stop cutting me off, you cunt.
I'm not understanding the...
I'm gonna read it to you, asshole. You've learned how to produce exactly the tool you need. With thieves' Let's tools or artisan tools in hand, you can magically create one set of artisan tools in an unoccupied space within 5 feet of you. This creation action requires 1 hour of uninterrupted work, which can coincide with short or long rests. Through the product of magic, the tools are non-magical, and they vanish when you use this feature again.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like you're using the thieves' tools / artisan tools to create this second set of tools.
Yes.
Okay.
Using magic to create another... Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes, and I can do it an infinite amount of times,
so
but I can only have one set of these tools at a time.
One set of
tools.
Okay. Yes. All right.
That's sick.
So,
yeah.
I need to know what this looks like. Like, are you doing this at camp?
yes, over camp, over this hour, I'm sitting there and I'm kind of, Levi's pouting about it. He's upset about it a little bit. He's kind of got his back turned. Then he's 3-4 hammers and he looks back to see if anybody's looking at him, watching what he's doing.
I imagine some of them have to be. If Honto is not meditating, then yeah, everybody's probably looking at you.
Mm-hmm. Kree's all, watching intently.
All these lizards and turnip are just kind of pushed off to the side as you guys erect a fire. Is there any reason that you guys would not erect a fire on this trip?
No.
No.
Put together a fire.
Fire.
I guess, well, two things. If it's for the whole 3 days, right? If I'm meditating, when I'm meditating at night, if we're like getting in the middle of nowhere, I'm trying, especially if he's doing shit, I'm trying to get very far away from camp to meditate. Like, okay. The fire is, you know, really like nothing going on.
Yeah.
In preparation for battle, possibly. And okay. Then two, over the days and the nights, the whole time, I mean, we can RP it. It just kind of, Honto wants to reiterate it multiple times. I think the strat for us as supposed healers should kind of be to maybe myself and Kree and Levi to kind of operate as bodyguards for Rook so he can get in deep and we can kind of make his healing look like the most that it can be, so they think that we're a healing unit, if you will.
I may want to have that conversation in RP, but yeah, that's a good pretense.
We can RP it, but I just wanted to say it out of character to kind of reiterate the fact that what we're about to RP, we probably would be doing like the whole fucking time, like getting this like down pat that this is probably what we should be doing. If we're at camp one night, Rook, obviously, you are the primary healer of the group. From our conversations back at Fort Chasm, I think they think that we all can provide some type of healing service. So I think maybe to cover our party's ass as a group, it would be in our best interest to kind of work as your shield, your guard, and we can get you in as deep as you need to be to do the most impactful healing possible.
If you guys are able to get me in safely, I can heal anything.
Well, we can get you in, but it's more important to get us all out.
I did that in Antano before. I can do it again.
Okay. We stick together. There is no splitting us up.
Are you saying to heal us or to show worth? Somebody else, somebody important.
I'll be healing you guys.
If we were to have to split up into Ulath was to tell us all to heal, we would not all be able to fulfill our duty, and then, you know, I would not want to get in the situation where they think we are somehow betraying them or something. So I think we should all stick together and boost the power of our one healing friend, right?
Agreed.
I agree.
Can anyone else do anything?
I got a little bit, but not to his degree.
Let's amp up the drama, you know, and let's make it look like we're really doing something out there.
We will be doing something out there.
Yes, we will, Rook.
I would say that conversation occurs probably on the first day camp. The rest of these 3 days, anything else that you guys are individually pursuing? You have made your smith tools.
Kree's just watching over kind of Levi's shoulder, just very intrigued and interested, invested in this.
Before we get all into this, like,
I want to ask, like, where am I with wild shape? Do I need to make a thing happen? Because if I have to, then I'd like to do it now.
You can?
Yeah, I'd like to do it now. I don't know. I guess just, like, over time in the camp. I guess, like, you know, through meditation or whatever it is. And then I want to turn into...
So it is, it's a series of, and for you specifically, it's not just meditation, but it's also thinking back to, like, previous teachings that you've gotten in the place where the cactus flower blooms, from Yucca, from all these people and your folk, as well as considering information from the two books that you've read, Thousand Tribes of Moss and Sand and Rattlesnakes Unfold, those two books, and really kind of connecting yourself to this natural world in speaking with these individual animals, not just turnip, but also these lizards. For as, you know, uninteresting it may have seemed at the time, it also does root you in this natural world. So there's a moment, maybe you're standing next to turnip. Maybe you're talking to him, rubbing your hand across his snout, feeding him a carrot. And you just feel this connection. And it's not like a connection that you make, but it's one that you realize was there. Like if you lived in your house your whole life and you find a new door that you never noticed before, you reach for the handle and step inside. Everybody sees Rook feed a carrot to turnip, and then there's two turnips standing there. You wild shape into a mule, identical to turnip.
Am I looking at turnip?
Yeah.
Like, is this, like, surprising? Is this surprising to me?
I would say it probably takes you by surprise.
It's kind
it's
of
something
like an
you
accidental.
It's something you were working towards.
Yeah.
But, like, this really quick breakthrough is probably jarring. Remember, limitations of wild shape. You can't speak in common while you are shaped into an animal.
But I can talk to turnip.
You can.
Does he say anything?
No.
I want to talk to turnip in mule. I want to say, my God, turnip, you helped this happen. This is so good.
Who are Rook? You?
Well, I'm Rook. I changed into your kind.
Rook is a cactus, man.
I know. I'll turn back soon. Can I turn over to everybody else?
You guys see a second identical mule to turnip turning back towards the three of you. I would imagine that Levi is in the process of, like, working on this chainmail. I would say that this likely happens before we kind of break camp where Honto makes his way off to meditate. You guys look over and see a mule looking back at you.
I'm just chewing on carrot. Now, how exactly does the wild shape work? Am I able to just change into anything at any time, or there's got to be like a cooldown?
Has to be an animal that you can see.
Yeah. You can see right now.
No, that you have seen.
Have seen.
Yes. And it also, you have a limited number of uses based on your druid level. And you can only stay in it for a certain amount of time. You would have to look in the book to really get the specifications on it. But it has to be an animal that you have seen before, and it needs to that animal needs to fall under a certain challenge rating that's dictated in the book.
Okay.
So you can't, if you've seen a kraken, you can't turn into a kraken. I believe the two big specifications is that you can't turn into any animal that can fly or has a swim speed until a certain level.
Okay.
You would need to double check in the book to really figure out the specifications, but there are very strict specifications for wild shape.
Okay. I just like switch back to myself.
Shook. Hey, Rook. There's a mule here.
Was there really?
Yeah.
Ain't that something? And I look over at you guys. And then I go and sit next to the fire.
Did we... When he changed back... Because at this point, we were staring at the mule, the second mule. Like, what do we...
So, this is up to Nick. There are a handful of different ways that Wild Shape works. Either your equipment is resized to fit the mule or whatever animal you transform into. Either the equipment is just disappeared into like an invisible space and comes back when you turn back, or your equipment falls to the ground. Which do you want moving forward? So you're wearing shorts.
Probably it just disappear and then come back.
It's up to you. But whatever you say now is going to be what it is moving forward.
It so comes like, back no matter what?
Yeah.
It's just like, I turn into a bear and I'm a bear.
Yes.
And then I come back and I have my satchel. In my
yes.
Clothes.
Or you like, are a bear wearing the satchel.
No.
It's up to you. Invisible, extra-dimensional space until you transform back. This is a decision that we have to make.
Let's make it that it sizes to me or whatever.
Final answer.
How does it work? I was going to say, I know it's not me, but like if he were to have it invisible and he wants to get something out of his bag.
He can't do it when he's wild shaped. He cannot
even
take
if it's on, but like
affirmative.
Okay.
But if I have armor on and then I wild shape into a bear, then I'm a bear with armor on.
Affirmative.
And then I come back to myself and I'm back to me with armor on.
Yes.
That one.
Okay. Okay. So during this time, there was a mule who was wearing shorts.
And then when you...
You know what? I'll let you decide what you want to be resized. We'll say if you're wearing a bag, I'll let it be saddlebags. I'll be, you know, flexible in that kind of stuff. Like, whatever would be realistic for that animal. So say you're wearing a pouch with Cree in it, because this is going to be important to think about moving forward. If you are Rook and you're wearing the pouch with Cree in it and you transform into a horse, I'll let you be a horse with saddlebags that are big enough to fit Cree.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever is the appropriate transition will work. There might be limitations where I'm like, I don't think this is going to work.
Okay.
But realistically, I'll allow that to be the case. If you're in a, you know, sticky situation and you need to transform into like a spider to get away, I'm not gonna have that spider be wearing leather shorts. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I'll let it be
not?
Up to you. unless you want it to be. I'll be pretty flexible in that.
So I guess like when we see him transforming going forward, is it just like this like flash of light instantaneous,
so
or is it a gas cloud?
That's going to be the other thing. What do you want the nature of your transformation to be?
Faded.
Do you want it to be snap like that? Do you want there to be a little flash of light, little flash of gas? Do you want it to be like Animorph, where your like skin color changes and your spine extends and fucking... What do you want this transformation to look like?
There's probably like... I like to think there's like a fog cloud goes over and then disappears and there I am.
Okay.
So upon seeing you transform out of that,
yeah,
I think Honto like grins and he approaches you kind of like congratulatory almost. Like, wow, is this the first time you've done this?
I've been working on it, but yeah, first time.
It's impressive.
I know. I'm proud of myself. This could mean a lot of things.
Keep working on it.
I will. It's gonna help us. I'm just sitting on the fire.
I also, like, if we're sitting by the fire and, like, Kree sees this in the corner of his eye, like, staring over Levi's shoulder and then just like, wait, what the fuck? Is that two mules? What the fuck? And then seeing him turn back into the my way. I want to walk up and just be like, can all my way do this? Is this just you? I'm so intrigued.
No. It's definitely not a natural my way power, if that's what you're asking. No, I've been working on this for a long time.
Wow. That's incredible.
Three days of camp. What do these alterations to this chain shirt look like?
I think it's disconnecting. Like, it's fitting it to him where, like, at first you're going for, like, the waist. And you're cutting it to the waist, and then you're kind of cutting it up to the armpits, and he keeps going back and forth and measuring with him, and then you're trying to make that seam that goes around that waist, and you're trying to re-seam and keep this chain hula hoop, I guess, at the bottom.
Are you proficient with smith tools?
Yes, because I chose armor.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. You gain proficiency with heavy armor and smith tools.
So, I'm going to have you roll a d20. You are going to add your proficiency modifier and your intelligence bonus to it. The result of this roll is not going to decide whether or not you're able to do this successfully, but instead how long it's going to take you.
Okay. 18.
You are able to fit this to crease size by the end of 3 days.
Okay. Yeah, then he takes maybe the fourth to make it look like he wants to show Levi still on this thing that he needs to be useful.
Gotcha. Anything else for these first 3 days?
Ponto is... the desert that we're in, is it... How loose sandy is it?
Compact. Very tight.
Okay.
Like salt flats with the kind of webbing almost on them.
Honto is going very hard in his meditation using... He's really practicing this now. Like
astral arms?
Really practicing that, yeah.
I know you're going out of, like, you know, the range of them to really focus, but what does it look like?
Yeah, so... I think I mentioned it on the coming back from the Avon Castillo the long way. Honto's kind of transitioned to sculpting now. He is sort of, I think as described before, he's sculpting with his hands, but his hands are, you know, maybe trying to gather a lot of the loose sand in the area, maybe, to like one spot in front of his lap. You know, it's a little easier to manipulate. And he's sculpting with his hands, but if you were to get the camera, you know, like, to the side of his hand, you know, parallel to the ground, there's a gap between his hand and the sand, the solid matter. Something from him is physically manipulating the matter in front of him that isn't his arm.
Outside of his own physical body.
But he's using his arms and his hands as the reference point for his, you know, his art, if you will, how he's sculpting.
Gotcha. And what do these sculptures look like? Just sand spires or anything specific?
So I'd say, starting out, it was kind of how his paintings were very abstract, and like, maybe it's pattern based, or maybe it's, yeah, like spires and sculpting 3D based, but I'd say, especially at this point, we're getting closer to maybe a potential probably a conflict. They're getting more passionate. I don't know how you want to translate that as the result, but I would say they're definitely getting more abstract, because that's how it's been going when we get into more intense feeling situations. So I would imagine it's... And I'm also learning how to use this ability more, too.
And I know that this kind of might be going a little bit too far, but how do these practices tie into your meditation?
Oh, I totally forgot, too. So I got this... This is why it's enhanced, too. I got this cloth. and I cut it. I asked him to cut it into three pieces, and the skinniest of which I'm using as a blindfold while I meditate. So, you know, I was closing my eyes before, but it's far away from everyone. Vision cut off. Sound should be cut off too, just ambient noise. And we're just trying to, well, we're feeling nothing but what exactly what's in front of us, and trying to take what's in our mind and put it in front of us as we're meditating.
It's almost trying to meld this mental image of the world with the physical representation that you're feeling with your astral hands.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
So those 3 days go by in this flat, desert, salt, cracked ground begins to give way to show an errant cactus or two. They're paddle cactuses. They're not very tall, but they have a lot of almost like branches coming off of them. And then more and more throughout this fourth day, until there's a point where it's just cactuses and your mounts are going to have to maneuver around them. I need everyone to roll animal handling. And Rook, I need you to roll it with disadvantage since you're also guiding Turnip.
15.
11.
17.
15.
Dexterous and deftly, you guys are able to navigate through this. It is thick in areas and then gives way into a spreading of where the cactuses are not too compact, and you're able to navigate fine, and then constricting again, and, you know, spreading out again. It's on and off, the frequency of these cacti as you make your way through. So I ask, for the next 6 days, anything that happens at camp or during the navigation of these cacti fields, conversations or actions that you guys would like to take.
The chain shirt is complete.
After the fourth day, and I want to kind of show it to Cree. Try it on.
Oh my god. How does it look? How does it look?
It's fit. It's fit. You just bought fresh shirt. The Express Outlet. It's where you just went, and it's fit. It's fit to you exactly.
There's a Hugo Boss tag on
the outlet. The outlet.
Express Outlet.
Express Outlet.
Not the real one.
Not the real.
It fits you well.
You use a knee to pants? You just go with the shirt?
No. Just the shirt. I think just the shirt will be fine. And then, so I'll just say mechanically, in terms of armor, this is just a chain shirt. It has armor class 13 plus dex.
So what has that raised your AC by?
2.
Whew.
Woof.
Mm-hmm.
So 13 to 15 AC.
Free 99. Well, he paid 5 gold. He put 5 gold on the table.
That's true. Yeah. So, but this is not like full scale mail. This is just chain shirt. So yeah, try it on. Does it fit nice?
It does.
Levi, I have to say, I will say I did not doubt you, but granted, I really didn't think about you, and I'm sorry that I didn't. This is beautiful.
I appreciate it. Come to me if you need anything. Kind of talking to the whole camp now. If you need help with anything, I'm here. I can help you.
We can all help each other.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of audibly chuckle.
Mm.
Hit my meditation.
Shares a long look with Honto as he goes to meditate.
Well, I won't be needing this anymore. And I pull the leather armor off. And I say, I'll be hanging on to it unless anybody, Levi, if anybody
you,
needs
you name
for
it
anything.
A holder for you?
You sure you're okay with that?
I take it.
Your pouch isn't...
I throw it in this bag, and I kind of, at the same time, hold it open as I throw it in for everybody to see.
It is an impossible maneuver that you guys notice is strange.
We hear like a
I imagine like I just saw his
wind.
Elbow go deep in there.
Oh, he kind of leans back and cracks his back with the armor on. Yeah, as I ain't tell you fellas about this. My bag? It can hold whatever you need.
That's why I gave
you
the letter.
Exactly. In my bag.
I saw you reaching in that bag. It looked huge.
Infinite, some might say.
Has Kree heard of this bag before?
Roll
this
Arcana.
Type of bag? Not one.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm rolling for this shit too.
You think he just like spread the bag really, really well to get the leather armor in?
Well, thank you. I mean, I hope it's not taking up too much space, but sure, why not?
Like I said, there's space in here. Y'all talking about these mounts for these warforged, these parts, whatever we collect. I gotcha. Yeah. Hell yeah. Now I got it. Now yeah, I got it. Yeah. Levi turns and starts walking away.
Fuck. Did I leave for the meditation at this point? Fuck.
I'd say you stuck around if you wanted to.
Ugh. Before I just get out of earshot, I turn around and I'm like, why do we have a wagon then?
You want to put the wagon in there?
Well, I didn't think about that. I just don't know why we need a wagon. Should we put the wagon in there? Can you fit it in there?
We do it piece by piece if you break it down. Just got to get through here. And I open the bag, like the hull of the bag.
Kree's fucking.
How fat is this hole that you?
It's literally like a sack, like a potato sack.
A potato sack.
I don't. Not tonight. Not tonight.
Yeah, I've done enough. He turns away again.
Yeah, I start walking away.
So, breaking camp on that fourth night. You guys arise on the fifth night, and like I said, we're taking this pretty quick. So from day 5 through 9, we'll kind of take it a little bit expedited. But upon rising to the sun on that fifth day, Rook, you hear a voice. Nobody else does, but you hear it.
Hello, Pook. This is Kalka, the librarian of the Charred Stacks. I'm reaching out to let you know your book is overdue. Please respond.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, Rook, I can hear you. Please talk in 25 words or less.
I'm a little busy right now, but I have the book and I'll get it back to you as soon as I can. I'm sorry.
Okay, make haste. I will start accruing the payment for you.
How much is the payment?
No response.
Make haste.
You guys hear Rook talking to himself?
I'm gonna owe like 105 gold.
We'll burn the fucking library down.
Fuck them, I'm never going back.
No, fuck. We'll burn the charred stacks.
When they hear about what I've done, it's gonna be years before I come back, but I'll be a legend and they're gonna be like, Rook, you come back with the book. Or I'll be dead.
No, we're gonna fight the Royal Sarninian Guard, be outlaws, go through some crazy shit to like exonerate ourselves. We go back, and then they arrest us anyways because you haven't paid the dues on your books.
We all get hung.
Yeah.
All of us. All of us.
You cleared your names.
I'll pay.
But you're tax evaders.
I'll pay. Promise.
Anything?
I'll pay my dues.
Roll Arcana for me.
For fuck's sake. Oh, 19, my two.
19?
Yeah.
That was a spell titled Sending, in which you can communicate with anyone on the same plane as you, as long as you know what they look like, and they're, like I said, on the same plane as you. Yeah. You can only respond in 25 words. You send it out in 25 words. Someone can reply in 25 words, but, like, you can't send it back at, like, after you already like sent a response.
That's fun.
But it's a spell. Sending.
Okay, cool. Librarium sending. That's fun.
So the remainder of these 6 days, anything else that you guys want to do at camp?
Just meditating.
I mean, if I got time and I'm done with this armor, Levi wants to forage for what he can find in the desert here.
Okay, go ahead and roll a survival check. With your proficiency bonus if you're not already proficient.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. If he's going to do that and I see him doing that, I'll realize I was being selfish in my meditations and lay some traps out with him.
Gotcha.
Which will be at advantage because we're in there.
Are we still in, like, Cactus Land?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it seems like intermittently, even if you don't, like, instruct them to, the lizards will, like, bite off pieces of the cactus and start eating them.
Okay, so I definitely have no connection to these cactuses. They're not living like my way.
You don't believe that to be the case. You know what a prepubescent adolescent my way looks like when it's planted.
It doesn't feel weird to me watching them eat cactus.
That's up to you.
I don't think it does. It's nature.
It's like a man watching somebody eat a monkey.
If they touch the cactus, like, they're going to be like, ouch.
Them?
Yeah. Is it like that for me?
No, for you, it's a little different.
Can I pick a bunch as food?
For?
Could Turnip eat this, or would it be too...
It's tough. Okay. You could take time to prepare it to be edible for Turnip?
Yeah, like, could I take the pricks off?
Yeah, if you take some time maybe at camp and, like, clean the pricks off.
But even
off,
for the lizards, maybe, too, just to have.
The lizards can just eat them, yeah, like, straight when you pick them, but for Turnip, you're going to have to take the pricks off, maybe even, like, okay, peel back,
wanna,
like, the thick hide that they're kind of surrounded in.
I just want to take some time to, like, harvest some and maybe stash for when we're out of there.
Okay, how much?
How much can I hold?
If you want to fill your bag, you can fill your bag, but, like, that's going to, like I said, fill your bag.
Like, half of that.
Okay, so I would say maybe like 5 or so pounds of cactus, okay. Specifically paddle cactus.
What is it?
Paddle cactus, P-A-D-D-L-E, cactus. Survival for alchemist supplies?
9.
It's tough here because it seems as though the cactus itself is taking any kind of nutrients away from typical... alchemist adjacent supplies that you would look for. Flowers, other flora that you would expect to find out here are almost having no room to grow because of these cactus that are just enveloping the area. Survival with advantage for setting traps for these 6 days.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
14.
Across these 6 days, you're able to catch maybe the errant shrew or so. So for 6 days, I would say you'd be able to substitute 3 days worth of rations.
Okay.
Make sure you guys are tracking these rations too. If at any point people check the saddlebags for the monitor lizards you've been provided, they are filled with prepackaged dried meats and legumes, different, dried vegetables and stuff like that, that would fill you for 12 days. So we're going on the first, at this point, 9 days up until you guys are supposed to be clearing these cactus fields. So just make sure you're checking those off. If we go past 12, that's when we're going to dip into whatever your personal rations are.
Is that three for the group?
Three for you, specifically. It's tough to find game here. And whatever you do catch is smaller than you've caught before and prior, where you might catch, like, a desert hare or something. Now you're catching, like, these small mice and shrew and stuff. Okay. Anything else?
Am I seeing these mice and shrew?
Do you hide it?
No.
Then yeah.
No, I'm probably offering this stuff up for us to eat first.
I've probably seen a mouse before.
You know, like, this is a fresh kill. Let's save the rations if I was able to get anything in the morning.
I'm saying, like, for the wild shape shit, but I've probably seen a mouse before.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So, across these 6 days, you guys cross these cactus fields. And the area clears up to slowly reveal on your 9th day of travel these massive, massive sand dunes. These are the largest sand dunes you've seen so far. At certain points, the incline is so steep. The monitor lizards have no problem making their way up these dunes, but Turnip does. I need you to roll animal handling for me.
I probably don't have to, but can I use a point of inspiration?
You can.
Am I able... Are the lizards going... Even though they're able to tackle us, no problem. Are they going a little slower than if they were going on flat ground?
Not at all.
Okay. Am I able...
25.
Am I able to help with this?
So, I would have allowed you to help if he did fall into any kind of struggle, okay. Which it doesn't seem like he did. 25. It's tough, so, like, for a second... Maybe you're talking with Turnip, and Turnip's talking back to you. Look, I'm getting stuck.
No.
And you're like, just go long ways. Just go long ways. And he does, and he kind of has to kind of take a horizontal approach up the dunes and take, like, a longer way around. All of you guys on the lizards are able to make your way up these dunes rather quickly, and these dunes are frequent. Turnip is going to take some time to navigate these dunes properly. You feel like you can do it safely, but it's going to take him some extra time. Preliminary understanding is that if Turnip is going to navigate these dunes, it's probably going to add a day, maybe 2 days to your trek time through these dunes. You guys make camp on this first night through these dunes, and I don't want to undersell it. Imagine tsunami right. waves that are just these dunes.
Would it, I guess this is a metagame question, if he didn't have the cart, would that be one day slower? Like, not one or two, more like one?
Yeah.
Okay, then maybe...
The cart is slowing him down
yeah,
for
so
sure.
So maybe what in character, we just, maybe we can...
Yeah.
Maybe tonight we can disassemble the cart partially and put it in the bag if... That would be the best option.
We give that a try. What about taking these other two raptors we got, these reptiles we got, and strapping them to the cart? Would that cut it off too? If we take the cart off a Turnip?
You think the lizards would make it would
if
be
you,
better with it?
If you took the cart off of Turnip and put it on one of the lizards, yes, it would be easier. But Turnip would still have the same problem if he had a rider on top of him.
He doesn't.
So I'm saying that if a lizard, without somebody riding on him and just the cart being pulled along by another lizard with a rider, that would be okay. So it would be lizard with rider, lizard with rider, lizard with rider.
The bag of holding doesn't weigh anything, right?
With... No.
So the best option for us to do is put shit in the bag of holding.
Yeah, absolutely. We
so
can. Yeah, that's probably it.
That's it. Because we're subtracting it and it's going to fucking nowhere.
Yeah,
you know?
We like, can. Yeah, just put the put whatever we have on the part in the bag of holding and then just
fit into that small radius or small circumference of a bag of a potato sack.
Do we feel like we could do that? It's like posts on the side of this thing.
Have to do that tonight, and we have tools.
Yeah,
we can just spend the night doing that.
My question to you is: if you disassemble this cart, how are you going to put it back together?
Do we need to put it back together?
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Why don't we just take
with heart
our shit off of the cart
with truth and friendship?
Well, because if we could put it in the bag of holding anyways, we could just sell the shit. Maybe, right? We got, like, parts.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, we bought the cart. We spent gold on the cart.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it kind of sucks just to ditch it.
We might be able to make a buck off the cart.
Yeah, we should have a minimum try to take it.
It's worth spending the night.
Let's take the wheels off, all the metal parts, and then take the wood off in, like, as large of parts as we can.
Yeah, a 2x4 is long. It could be longer than that, and it fits in. Yes, Poppy? So, now has entered one of my favorite things in Dungeons & Dragons. The whole party is aware of the bag of holding. I need you to make a separate sheet, aside from your character sheet, that just tracks the contents of the bag of holding, please.
Okay. What did I just put in it?
What did I put in it?
20 minutes of this.
Take your time, do whatever you guys got to do, but what's the consensus on what's happening in with this cart?
Let's put the cart in that fucking bag of holding if we can.
Yeah,
and then we'll just sell the scrap wood.
Yep, everything goes in the bag. Fact. As much shit in this party right now goes into the bag, so it's as light as possible for four lizards and one mule.
What the
travel.
Fuck did I put in it to say, like, hey, I have a bag of holding?
The letter.
Yeah, but there was something else,
Kree's
too.
Armor.
The remaining.
Yes, his
old
the
leather
armor.
Oh, the leather armor, yeah. Also, how long can someone live in there? Is it an hour?
Don't start. Don't. I was trying to avoid this.
Let me find it. Let me find it. I'll read it to you.
I thought it was less.
When he first brought it up, I was like, I don't want to do this. I think it's a number of rounds equal to your constitution modifier. Because
there's like no air, right?
Yeah, I think it's a number of rounds
like
equal to your constitution
minutes
modifier.
Of air? Yes.
I got it. My constitution modifier is +3, so we'll be fine. You can hang out in there for a little bit.
Don't even get me started on the fucking extra dimensional space bombs.
Oh my god. Such a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, let's just put the barrel of explosives in the bag of holding.
Why didn't we do that to start?
It can't explode in there because there's no oxygen, so we're good.
I think there is oxygen. I think it's like 15 rounds plus your constitution modifier. I think that there is some stipulation in bag of holding that lets you like live in there if you have a 0 constitution modifier.
So I also remember something similar to that. Oh, also, it can only hold up to 500 pounds. I just got to note that. The cart's not 500 pounds.
Not even close. It's like 60 pounds.
Are we,
okay?
Just for my writing's sake, are we saying that we get this whole thing, like, in a night, we can deconstruct
it? If you transform your smithing tools into carpentry tools and you're able to cut it up properly, yes.
Sure.
Breathing creatures inside the bag can survive up to a number of minutes equal to 10 divided by the number of creatures in the bag. So if there's one in there, it can last 10 minutes in the bag. That's pretty big.
600 rounds.
That's big.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it? Jeez. 60 rounds? 10 minutes.
6 seconds.
Fuck.
Wait, what's the math? What are we figuring out?
3 Michelobes, I can't do that math.
60.
100 rounds.
100.
Yes, 100 rounds.
Like, if somebody's down...
The only person you can fit in that fucking potato sack is him. Yes.
It's gonna come up. It's gonna
Use
come
me.
Up.
Use me.
Use me.
Yes.
No, what the fuck?
Use me. Paint my nails.
All right. I did it one time, and I'm run through the fucking coals.
All right.
I ain't complaining.
God damn.
All right, so we are breaking down the cart with carpentry tools.
Yes.
Sticking the contents in the bag of holding.
Yes.
So we don't have to argue about it when it comes up again. How are you breaking down this cart? I'm assuming it's nails and wood.
For scraps.
Yeah, all metal parts off in a, you know, separate. And then the wood is like as clean breaks as we can get it if we got to kind of just hack it
just
into
take
parts.
The nails
it
out?
Is what it is.
Yeah.
But like wheels, axle, like that shit, we kind of want to remove it. That's like the metal, right?
Okay. So
and Levi, Levi made like a canopy for this thing too.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
takes the cover off, save it. Yeah.
As much as you can. You could probably save the whole canopy and like collapse it.
Yeah.
We could sell it as a canopy. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So cart is now in the bag of holding. What is the situation with the lizards and turnip?
It's just one of us on each lizard, and then Turnip can, we can just help Turnip out. Like, he's just got nothing, and we kind of just steer him along.
Okay. Yeah. Through these dunes, they are massive, and it's tough to find spots to camp, but you're able to. Any conversations at camp? Any conversations on this journey? The sun is beating down. The fauna is getting sparser here. Normally, as you would see birds of prey circling overhead, or the errant scorpion or dire scorpion on the horizon, you're seldom seeing them now.
Are the cacti diminishing as well?
Almost gone at this point.
Fuck, I'm sorry. If we notice this, I say we toss some in the bag of holding. Sorry. Right? These lizards. We just gotta make sure that these lizards make it to the end. Because this is our fucking lord and savior, Vorgoth. We need to make sure that he's...
If you feel like doing it, you can, but I ain't reached my hand in this thing to grab no cactus. I'm sorry, buddy.
I can.
Yeah, of course. You just what you want, you take out.
Okay. Fine.
I'll follow Rook and like with the sword just like chop off a like cacti at the root. Just like boom, oh you want this one? Boom, chop it off. There you go. Just however many we need. I don't give a shit.
How much cactus are you putting in this bag of holding?
There's no fucking limit, right? A lot.
500-pound limit, but
how much does a cactus weigh?
Here you go.
I have 5 bags of cactus myself. Dude, those giant cactus are like huge, right?
And they're filled with water too, so they are pretty heavy.
They're like thousands of pounds.
I'm not surprised.
The giant ones.
Yeah,
they're like little cactus plants. But like,
these are stout paddle cactus.
We only need them for like another few days in like for the lizards, because the lizards are eating them.
And I already have 5 pounds though. Do we really need? You tell me, DM.
To sustain these lizards comfortably, I would say between the 5 pounds from there, I would say another 15 pounds would be required in order to sustain them comfortably if you do not run into any cactus again.
All right, we'll grab another 20 pounds. Make a little bit more for sure.
Please add 25 pounds of cactus to the bag of holding inventory.
Yep, more for sure.
Do you hand over your 5 that you had?
Yes.
Okay. Then, yeah, that's the 25.
This ain't weird for you or nothing?
Me?
This normal Rook? They're different. I'm not trying to be offensive.
Well, I start speaking my way into the... I literally just have a cactus in my hand and I start speaking my way in. And they come back to me?
Nothing.
And then I look at you.
Ain't talking to me. It's just like another flower. Nature is nature.
I appreciate your straightforwardness.
This is fruit for our beings.
So, as your 12th day ends, you feel slightly burdened by Turnip. Definitely holding you guys back. Even though you're able to navigate him up and down the dunes, it definitely is an anchor that is weighing you down. You make camp for the 12th night, which you were assured that you would have reached the Ebon Mines by now. But rise in the morning. Anything for this 13th day that you guys want to do?
Are any of us able to determine or to confirm that we are headed east? I don't believe we have any compasses.
I would require a survival check.
I'll try.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll help him out.
Four.
Oh my god, are you guys serious? Can I help?
Nope.
Fucking hell.
Seven.
Yeah, you guys are heading east. Continuing,
very vague.
Continuing on, any other conversations or any other things that you guys want to do as you are navigating these dunes up and down and up and down? And there's a point where you're almost in like a cauldron surrounded by this sand, and the sand is much less compact, as it has been prior.
There was never a trodden path that we've seen.
Not at
this
all.
This entire time.
This has been all off-grid travel, for sure. Would you want to try to look for any kind of...
The thought is, like, if a whole army party walked through here, maybe at the most a month ago...
That would require an investigation check if you wanted to make one.
Yeah, could I?
Go ahead.
Nat 20.
On this 13th day, under the blinding sun, you begin to look for footfalls and foot traffic, and you do see a set of prints that are heading southward, if you are believing yourself to be heading eastward. You follow them for a little bit, and the tracks are hard to identify whether they are footfalls or hoof prints. Looking back at your own lizard's tracks, you recognize them to be similar to the ones you were following. Lizard tracks. Just looking at where they would lead to, up this dune and then back down again onto a neighboring dune, probably 150, maybe 200 yards away. Two figures atop the dune, blinding. Each of them are atop similar riding lizards and with an unmistakable Cracked Mesa Clan banner atop one. The figures themselves are catching the sunlight in a distracting way, as if they're covered in mirrors and the light is bouncing off. They're not moving, but they're looking towards you. And they begin to navigate down the dune on approach. You see them and no one else does yet.
Point that out immediately to everybody else in the group.
You say that they're Cracked Mesa?
Yeah, point it out. Yeah. Point in that direction.
Just kind of make sure. I don't know if we ever established which one of the lizards has the banner on it, but whichever one, just kind of make sure it's like... straight and displaying correctly.
I meant to ask, but who do you guys think, and let's be reasonable here, would have been riding the single lizard that has the pole arm with the Cracked Mesa Clan banner on it?
Honestly, probably not me.
Whoever talks the most, I feel like.
Because I was going to say, I'm like probably hopping off occasionally and
probably
be a little more mobile.
Probably won't eat you.
Do you want it, Levi?
That feels like a Cree. That feels like Cree took that shit. Up to you. Does Cree, would Cree have taken that?
Creel, yeah. If Levi don't want it,
he didn't take it immediately.
All right, yeah.
It would have been the last one claimed. I'd say that. Would you have been the last one to claim a lizard? How about this? Levi, Cree, both of you guys roll d20. Whoever rolls lower, claim the lizard with the banner.
Three.
13.
Cree, you have the lizard with the banner.
Sweet.
I
cut the banner off. I bury it.
I shoot myself in the head. So... as they approach, kind of bounding off of the dune that neighbors yours, and it's not hard to tell, they have much better control and finesse of these riding lizards than you guys have had. Their silhouettes become clearer as they crest 100, 75, 50 yards. And the original assertion is set in fact. These two, now distinguishable orcs, are indeed covered in mirrors. Leather armor with shards and cracked mirrors, stitched, woven, glued on to their armors. They approach, Cree first, speak to you in a language that you do not understand. And that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thank you for listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, a Nasty Table production.